37 tonight, Psalm 37, part of my devotion this morning. I started out somewhere else and ended up, I kept going back to the 33rd Psalm and Psalm 37, something I guess my soul needed, but it certainly was sweet. Any portion of God's Word, of course, for the child of God is sweet. It brings that which is needed. And we simply want to talk about trust in the Lord tonight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The 37th Psalm, I want to read the first verse and pray, let you be seated. I'm going to use almost the whole chapter, not quite. Verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Father, thank you again. You're so wonderful. The fellowship that you give to us is so complete and satisfying. Thank you for being our Father. It's an amazing thing to be able to say, God is my Father. Not everyone can say that. You're the creator of all, but you're not the Father of all. Only those who've come to you seeking salvation through your precious Son Jesus can call you their Father. Related to you because your life is in us. What a glorious thing. And God, to be able to assemble here tonight for the purpose and the honor of praising you and giving glory to you through our lives is the least that we can do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Forgive now my sin, give preaching grace, and bless and encourage the people that are here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Trust in the Lord. Coming back there, but I want a verse of scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's with all your person. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I like that. Man, I like that so much. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't support yourself with your own understanding. Don't rely upon what you know. It's all about what God knows. It's all about God's strength. It's all about God's knowledge, trusting in him and not leaning. Trust is a total commitment. A total commitment. If you put a life jacket on and you can't swim, but you know the life jacket's going to save your life, then you can put on a pair of water skis and have a good time in water skiing, even though you can't swim, because you know the life jacket, you're trusting. That's a total commitment. Man, when you're back there on the end of a rope, water skiing, and you can't swim, you're going to crash. You know you're going to crash at some point. Total commitment in the life jacket. I've known people that's done that. Couldn't swim a lick, but went water skiing because they trusted. Listen, that's what life is about. That's what life is about. Total commitment, total trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of everything. He's going to give me a job. He's going to give me direction. He's going to give me a purpose. But I trust him like the life jacket, trusting him. I don't always understand why, where, and how, but I know the person. I trust him. Complete trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I've said it before, but it's in the margin of my Bible. To acknowledge means to know, to be familiar, friend, famous, have respect for someone. For example, you may recognize a certain person is in the room without acknowledging them. You know that? You feel snubbed sometimes. You know so-and-so's in the room, but you don't acknowledge their presence. And you can know about God and know God, but not acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. You say, well, I knew a preacher one time that was very fleshly. And he was a part-time preacher, a full-time farmer. And he used to think that, you know, things were different during the week. You'd kind of on your own during the week, and then you're with God on the weekend. I said, man, that's crazy. You know, it's God or nothing. You can't be half in, half out. It's total commitment or nothing at all. So trust in the Lord. Back in Psalm 37, you find in verse number 1, a key words. I think I've given this to you before, but it's been a long, long time ago. And there's some key words here that are italicized or a little bit darker than others. And they're key words in every verse. The first one is in verse number 1, and he talks about fret not. A child of God has nothing actually to fret about. To be fretful means to be mad, sad, or sour, or gloomy, having a temper, sullen, to be not quite right about everything, fretting, antsy, working over and over and over in the mind. You can't lay it down. You won't put it down. Fretful. To glow or to grow warm or to blaze up in anger and zeal. To be angry, to burn, to be displeased, incensed about something, very wroth. To be zealous in a bad sense. To be jealous and to be moved to such. Fret, fretting, fretting. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. It means sometimes, like some of the psalmists have mentioned, why do the evil prosper? Why do they not treat it the way you and I are? Why does it seem like sometimes the Christians are the poor people and the evildoers have everything? And it's because you and I have eternal life, which is, you can't put a value upon it, a dollar sign on it. But these evildoers have only what time of breath they have in their body, and then it's over for them. And they'll take nothing with them. Fret not. Don't get angry. Don't be zealous against. Don't be incensed about. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, life will be a whole lot sweeter if you just let people alone and not be envious over what they have or trying to get justice. Man, I'd love for justice to fall in Washington, D.C. Wouldn't you? I'd love for it to happen, but look, I can't spend all my time thinking about that. I'm seriously honest when I say, when I cut my cable TV off with all the world news that's on 24/7, suddenly I got a different perspective of things. It's a whole lot nicer now. I still have my ability to watch videos or something. I watched Indiana Jones the other night. Isn't that amazing? I don't know which one it was, but it was they showed Petra. He was down in Petra at the treasury. I've been down there. He was riding a horse down this canyon, and I've been there. I rode the horse down the canyon into Petra right there in the treasury. Amazing. Man, I still have my ability, but I'm ignorant as to what the news is, most of it, unless I catch it out and about somewhere or it comes up on my phone. I'm sure Schumer and Pelosi are still doing well. I don't hear about them every day. So my life is not as fretful or stressful as it has been in the past. I want you to look in Proverbs 24 and verse number 19. Proverbs 24, 19. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." You know, the candle is a life. It's a lamp. It's a light. When you have life, you supposedly have light. But when your lamp is put out, then you have no more life. And that's what he's saying here. Fret not thyself because of evil men. There is no reward to the wicked. And so we should not fret about all of these things. David has a great sense of advice here and counsel. I want you to be reminded in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 for the Christian. Here he says, fret not. Don't be worried about evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So Romans says this in 8:28. We know it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. The good, the bad, the ugly. Not everything that happens to us is good. Sometimes it's kind of harmful. Sometimes it has to do with our health. Sometimes our finances. Sometimes physical. Sometimes emotional. Not everything that happens to us at the moment is good, but God promised He'd work it out for our good. Don't you see? He said, all things work together. Well, that was the problem with Israel. We talk about knowing God's ways. I preached a sermon at Heartland on this, knowing the ways of God. And Israel didn't understand what God was doing because they couldn't understand God's way. All they could see was just the moment. All they could see was Pharaoh's chariots kicking up the dust behind them. And they said, "You brought us out here to kill us, didn't you, Moses? Now what are we going to do?" They could not be conscious of the fact that God had just performed so many miracles down in Egypt to show them that they could trust Him. And they've already forgotten. That's why I keep bringing up things in the past. And I keep pointing to things that God has done and prayers that God has answered. Not because I think you're dumb or stupid, but because to remember is to point back at things that God has accomplished already and point to the future for things that God can do later on. We should not forget. Israel forgot very quickly. All they could see was the actions of the moment. In Romans 8:28, sometimes all we see is the actions of the moment instead of the possibilities that God could accomplish in our life by bringing this thing and the things of the future and a few things of the past, bringing them all together and causing it to be for our benefit and for our good. We don't see the ways of God. Sometimes Satan has a way of just focusing in and getting us to focus on the moment. If you're taking a road trip from point A to point E, when you get to B, the road trip's not over yet, right? So you can't focus on position B because the road trip is going to E. And you still have some distance. When you finish the trip, then everything together makes up the trip. It makes up the destination. Things happen to us in life and we think, oh, it's the end of life. It's so horrible. It's so bad. It's so dreadful. But it's just one small part and one small portion of the things that God is doing for us and the ways of God and the way He does things in our life. So He says, look, number one thing you can do, don't fret about it. Just don't fret about it. Just remember that all things are working together for your good. All things work together, not just one thing. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things are yours, child of God. All things are yours. You have not because you ask not. And you don't understand God's ways because you're narrowed in on the moment rather than the whole picture of what God's doing in your life. You may not live in Midland, Texas your whole life. You might live somewhere else. And God has you here for the moment. But the possibilities are you might be somewhere else later on. All of it working together is your life. And all things are yours. Notice the second thing in Psalm 37. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good to others and for the benefit of others. Trust in the Lord. Not trusting in your knowledge, not trusting in your wisdom, not trusting in your job, not trusting in your position. Trust in the Lord. You say, preacher, tears running down your cheeks. I just lost my job. My house is not paid for. I have a mortgage. What am I going to do? I'm afraid. Number one, God's not the God of fear. He's a God of faith. Satan is the God of fear. And Satan is the God of doubts and worries. So fret not, but trust. Remember the life jacket? Remember the ski boat and the skis, water skis? The people can't swim? Life jacket. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verily thou shalt be fed. Future tense. Trust in the Lord presently. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Future. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's going to take care of it. Take care of today. Trust. Trust is a word that God gives to us. Somebody said, trust is like heaven in the heart. Trusting God with everything that we do or be or wherever we go, trusting God. We've invited him in. We're fretting not. And we're trusting God with everything about ourselves. It's like heaven in the heart will produce heaven in the house. Heaven in the heart will produce heaven in the house. It's like my faith in the Lord bleeds over to others. My trust in the Lord benefits the rest of the household as they see and understand and believe, trust. My God said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Is God rich? Oh man. According to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory. That means he's glorifying himself through his son Jesus Christ. You believe, you trusted, you have faith in him. Now, Romans 8:32, because he has not held back that which is most precious to him, but given his only begotten son for our deliverance and for our salvation. Now he glorifies himself through Jesus Christ by giving us the things that we have need of and even some things that we don't have need of. God's not a stingy God, by the way. He gives us all our needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Fret not and trust. Then you know what happens? It's an ascension. It's ascending. Fret not down here. Don't fret, but trust. You climb the next rung. And when you trust in God and you don't fret about all this stuff, you're trusting Him, you know He's capable, you know He's willing, you know He's able, you trust, then the next step is delight. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight. The word delight literally means be thankful. Man, I'm delighted when I get a box of Shipley's cream-filled donuts. I'm thankful. I'm delighted. Huh? I'm delighted. I have to tell you, I broke down, got half a dozen the other day. I didn't get a full dozen. I just got half. I tried to eat them all. My wife got one or two. They are so good. I'm addicted to them. I probably need to start a new kind of addiction recovery from Shipley's Donuts. Delight. Be thankful. Delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord. That's great. And we have reason to rejoice. But delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent upon sudden or present excitement. Delight. Delight is that calm and cool rejoicing and thankfulness that's always abounding in the Lord. Rejoicing comes over the fact that I got the whole box by myself. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight. Somebody said we may well question our trust if it doesn't lead to delight in the Lord. Are we really trusting God if we're not delighting in Him? Are we really trusting the Lord if that delight, that thankfulness is not present within us? The very first psalm says, blessed is the man, blessed. It means plural happinesses, plural blessednesses. Blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. But his thankfulness is in the law of the Lord. Thank God that we have a righteous element in America. The only reason America has not fallen already is because of the godly, the righteous that honors and serves God in this land. And I'm convinced of that. Because America, right at the moment, going the other direction, is rotten to the core. And just like a lot of the Pharisees that Jesus said, you know, you're like whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, there's rotten flesh and dead men's bones. That's what America is at the present time. But he says, blessed is a man that delights himself in the law of the Lord. And he says in that 37th Psalm, delight thyself also in the Lord. Let him be thy joy, thy thankfulness. And it's not once a week or twice a week, but it's every day that we think about the Lord and are thankful for his goodness to us and his life to us. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Sure he will. Why? Because for a saved individual who desires to do God's will, wanting to please God, not wanting to displease God, he doesn't want anything outside of God's will for his life. So when God brings something along and you have that desire, and I'm not talking about a momentary fix, I'm not talking about a momentary joy that's gone, or a momentary wish. I wish I had some ice cream. Well, you know, something else might take away that wish. Maybe you really want ice cream, but you don't want it that badly. And, you know, a good piece of deep fried chicken and a buttered biscuit would take away the desire for that ice cream. So you lost it, huh? But if nothing satisfies, I know that's kind of a dumb illustration, but nevertheless, it is what it is. When you have a desire, I've learned in my life there are two desires. There's a fleshly desire and a spiritual desire, and they're both different. They're both different. The fleshly desire is fried chicken and ice cream and Shipley's donuts and the whole nine yards. But the spiritual desire is that purpose that God has in your life and mine that you can't get away from. The spiritual desire. I have a desire for God to do something great. I have a desire to see God work in this area. I have a desire for God to save my Uncle Bob, or I have a desire for God to, you know, work in this area. That's a desire from God's own heart. These buildings are a result of the desires that God placed in the hearts of people. And it comes about. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Okay, so God's going to give you a bucket of fried chicken? He didn't give you that desire. That's a fleshly urge. That's a self-centered desire that you brought up on your own. God didn't put that in your heart. Well, I wish I had a, you know, I have a desire for more money. Why do you want more money? So I can give more to missions. That sounds good. Well, I see people in our church that's hurting, and I would love to be able to help people anonymously. That you may be onto something. God may feel that desire. Delight thyself in the Lord. Be thankful of the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You starve the fleshly desires and you feed the spiritual desires, saying something like, Lord, I'm not sure that you're working in my life, but I would want to do whatever you have for me to do. I desire your desires. If you make it plain to me and clear to me, I will surrender and commit to anything that you want me to do. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody else is going to see it the same way you do. But we're not concerned about everyone else. We're concerned about you and the Lord and his desire for your life. You see? Just because you have that desire doesn't mean everyone else is going to. Delight thyself in the Lord. The delight is that next rung. As we began to learn not to fret over those things and we trust the Lord, we're making steps upward. Next comes delight. Then in verse number 5, we find the word commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now here we are again, back to the words, the way. Commit thy way, commit the way unto the Lord. Commit thy way. Well, we think about, and we could read it in the Psalms. It's over about the 118th Psalm, somewhere over in there. It talks about the way of life, that God showed Moses his way. He showed the people of Israel his actions. All they saw was the action. They saw the manna from heaven. They saw the quail about the camp. They saw the Red Sea divided at just the right moment. But they were so narrow-minded, they soon forgot everything else. And that's all they could see. But Moses was shown the way of God from Egypt all the way into the promised land. God showed Moses everything that he was going to do, his purpose, his plan, his desire for the people of Israel. And Moses got a little bit impatient with people when all they could focus on was not the way of God, but was on the actions. We're hungry. We want something to eat. He gave them manna from heaven. And then what happened? They got dissatisfied after a period of time. But notice, as we fret not and as we trust, We began to learn to be thankful and delight ourselves in the Lord. He gives us the desires of our heart that, by the way, Philippians says it's God who puts that desire, that burden in your heart to begin with. And then you find that verse number 5 says, commit thy way. It means roll your burden. It's like a camel that gets down on the ground. You can't put this heavy load up on that camel that's 6 feet high or more. They teach the camel to get down, and he gets down on the ground, on his belly, and he lies down so they can roll the burden over on that frame on the camel, and the camel can carry the load. And that's what he's saying here. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll your burden. Roll all the things that you don't understand about life. Roll it up on the Lord. Just trust Him. Stay focused on the Lord. Commit thy way. Well, some of us are so dumb, we don't know what the way is. We only know what the present is. But if you commit the present to the Lord and commit the rest of life to the Lord, He'll make sure you don't live in vain, and He will help you in that area. Notice it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. That means everything, every day. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I know so many years ago, I've told you this story before. I tell it again. I love to hear it. So many years ago, I was praying for over a year, Lord, if you want me to stay in this little God-forsaken town over here, I will, where the mosquitoes are bad and the sweat rolls down. I mean, I'll stay here if that's what you want. But I really would like to have a Christian school. I really would like to go to a city of this size. I really would like to have a church with a Christian school, and I'd love to have a house in the country. I'd love to go someplace where I can stay and not move every 3 or 4 years. I want a place where I can raise my children, Lord, and be stable. Can you do that? A year later, He did that. And since that time, I've thought about that prayer, and I've thought about those specific things I asked for that God gave. And then I've been tempted to leave several times. And every time I'm tempted to leave, God says, did I give you what you asked for? Yes, sir. Did I tell you it's time to leave? No. Then why are you trying? I thought that's your problem. You were thinking, you should just trust me. I gave you what you asked for. I haven't told you the time is over yet. Just stay where you are in the middle of my will. Be faithful. Keep doing what I told you to do. Delight thyself and commit thy way unto the Lord. I don't know what the next few weeks holds. I don't know what the next year holds. I know about right now. You say, well, I want to move. I want to leave Midland. I'm tired of here. I want to go somewhere else where they have trees and they have everything. That's great. I might have that desire too. But I don't know how God's going to lead that. If God doesn't open the way, then I better stay where I am. Because I know about here. I know I'm in God's will here. If I try to leave, I don't know about there. Unless God is the one that's leading me in that direction. Been there, done that already. Got ahead of God and got to the place that I thought was going to be utopia. And it turned out to be wretched and miserable and horrible. And I realized it. Sometimes we get this fascination with things and places and people, and we think it's going to be just grand, but if God's not in it, it won't be. But He said, trust me, delight in me, commit your way unto me, and I'll bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Boy, we need light in this filthy world today. We need Christians' light to shine, and that's what He's talking about. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. We need it. We need Christians to shine for God. I talked to a man this afternoon or this morning. We were out here looking at the buildings, trying to figure out, we have a water leak in the next building, and he couldn't quite discern it. We got to get a different professional in to look at it. But we got to talking about the Lord, and I found out he was saved, and so we got to having some fellowship and some good times in the Lord. We may not believe alike in every area, but we believe the Lord was our Savior, and we had a great time in that. You know, your light shining, but not only just to other Christians, it ought to shine to the rest of the world as well. Let me give you a few more of these and I'll be finished. But commit yourself, trusting, delighting in him. There'll be a commitment of our ways and purposes unto him. Wholly committed unto the Lord means we're free from anxious thoughts. If we're totally committed to the Lord, we're free from that anxiety that a lot of people suffer. You know, worrying about, well, should I be here? Should I be there? Should I do something else? Should I do something? Look, do you know what God wants for you right now? Yes. Well, then just do that. Be satisfied doing his will right now and let him take care of tomorrow and the next days. I have a verse, Matthew 6:25. He says, he's talking about in 6:24 and so on, about your heart. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the god of riches. Verse 25, therefore, because you can't serve two gods or three or four or whatever it might be, therefore I say unto you, if you're going to serve God, you can't be thinking about yourself all the time. Hello? If you're going to serve God, you can't be thinking about yourself all the time. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Not the fact that you're going to die or you're going to live, about your life, your living, where you are, where you're going to be, what's going to happen. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Not me, not you, none of us. By worrying, fretting, or wishing. But commit your way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Philippians says, 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh yeah, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, it's natural for a father to care for his children. God is our Father. We've been born again. He cares for you, casting all your concern, all your care, all your fretfulness, all your worry, casting all your stuff on him, for he cares for you. He's not going to let something be detrimental to you if you're in his will and you're following him, you're committed to him. Casting, there's that word, on the camel's back, rolling upon him, committing unto him all your concerns and all your cares, because he cares for you. Oh, there's several more I need to close. I don't have time to finish it all. But you find the word rest in verse number 7. Look at it, please, in Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I'm not a very patient person. I came to realize years ago what the problem is in my life. I'm in a hurry. I got to get on with living. I don't have much time left. Who knows what time we have? I'm in a hurry. I'm nothing but dirt, and it doesn't last forever. I'm in a hurry, and I realize God isn't in a hurry because time is nothing to Him. Be patient. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Oswald Chambers says the hardest thing for a child of God to do is wait on God. Wait, wait, wait. I have a journal at home that I finally gave up on, but I can go back and read in there for many pages. In the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up and I'd write in the journal. But I thought God gave me a specific goal, a specific plan, and a specific answer. And I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. Waiting on God. I'm still waiting for that to take place, I wrote. And sometimes we do. Sometimes it may never come about. But just the motivation of waiting on God, the motivation of being in His will and in His plan at the moment that carries through for weeks, months, or years, waiting on Him and being in His will, being where He wants you to be now. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. Just take care of now. Where does God want you right now? What does He want you doing right now? Rest in that. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8 is a word. Cease. Stop. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Wrath is a heat, a rage, a hot displeasure, a poison, a burning anger, an out of control rage or wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. There's that word again. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You ought to go through Psalm 37 and underline and count how many times he says, don't fret, don't fret, don't fret, don't fret, don't fret. Boy, he's talking to a bunch of Christians, isn't he? Don't fret, don't fret. We need to remember not to fret, to cease from fretting. Cease from self, cease from thinking about self. Well, I deserve. They tell you on a lot of the commercials that you deserve. Well, Medicare, I just want to get everything I deserve. Yeah, okay. And everything else, I just want what I deserve. Listen, if we all got what we deserved, we would no longer be here on the face of the earth. Proverbs 25 and 28. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Rule over our own spirit. So he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. It's all of the flesh, and it's all because we think more highly of ourselves than we should. I promise you, because Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 and 20 talks about it. And then he says in verse 9, Psalm 37, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Wait upon the Lord. There it is, wait. Wait. Wait doesn't mean we cease activities. It doesn't mean sit down and twiddle your thumbs, do nothing. It means while we are active, we're waiting for God to give a word, to give a direction, to whatever it is. And I leave you with this. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35 and 36, two of the verses that has kept me going over the years, verses 35 and 36, two of the very valuable, important verses of a promise that God has given to us. Hebrews 10:35, he said this, cast not away therefore your confidence. Confidence in yourself? No. Your confidence in God. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I had to look that word up years ago. Great recompense. It means requital. It means repayment. To be paid back. To be compensated for loss. Wait a minute. Is waiting upon God associated with loss of stuff? Not necessarily. Sometimes we we lose our life for Christ's sake, but we find it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you might lose your ambitions. You might lose your goal of prestige along the way. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense, repayment of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. In other words, you can't reap what you haven't sown. And so if we wait upon Him, He promised a great recompense of reward in those areas and those things. You know, those are really, chapter 37 is not over. There's so many good things there. I wish you'd read it. And chapter 33 and Psalm as well. Those are really some valuable, valuable things there. So let me close with Proverbs 3:5 again. Let me read it and then we'll close. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all your energy, with all your emotions. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Good advice. Let's stand, be dismissed tonight. 4th of July, Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Be here, be square, you know. We're going to have a great time. Someday, before the summer's out, maybe even towards the fall, what we ought to do is have a Sunday fellowship where everybody brings their ice cream freezer and makes homemade ice cream. Peach is my favorite. And what?